CCleaner was infected with malware, Equifax is not having a good month, and Blueborne attacks Bluetooth devices. All billions of them. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for September 19th, 2017, your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you haven't checked out our Patreon yet, please do so. We have lots that we want to do for this show, but we can't do it without your support. Thank you so, so much to all the patrons that do support us over at patreon.com/threatwire. That's the place where you can go to support the show. And now, on to some news. So first off, don't freak out. This hack does not affect all downloads of CCleaner, and a new version has already been pushed to users. Okay, my work here is officially done, right? All right, maybe not. Jokes aside, if you downloaded CCleaner between August 15th to September 12th, your computer has been compromised by a supply chain attack that affected Piriform's application. CCleaner was created by Piriform, which is a company acquired by Avast Antivirus, ironically, and it was built to help consumers clean up their Windows computers. It deletes temporary files, it deletes cookie files, and more random crap that just takes up space on your hard drive, and it is recommended as a solid optimization tool. Now, Cisco Talos found a vulnerability in CCleaner version 5.33.6162 and CCleaner Cloud version 1.07.3191 for 32-bit Windows machines, which was released on August 15th and continually distributed until September 12th. If you've already downloaded 5.34, that version does not have the vulnerability. The malware-ridden version did have a valid certificate issued by Symantec for the software, which makes some people think that it could have been an inside job. Since it was legitimately signed, the malware would have been added before signing. To make matters a little bit worse, a compilation artifact was inside the executable, so it was probably compromised before being compiled. It was hosted directly on the CCleaner download servers as well. Now, Cisco Talos identified the vulnerability while working on a beta testing for their own product. Researchers believe this to be a pretty advanced attack due to the malware including DGA, or domain name generation algorithms, which allow attackers to predict domains the malware will contact and then register those in advance. Now, the 32-bit version of CCleaner 5.33 had a malicious payload hidden inside of it, and once it was downloaded, the multi-stage payload would steal data from the infected computer and send it to a remote server. The data collected through the backdoor was encoded and sent via HTTPS post requests to a hard-coded IP address. It would steal the computer name, a list of installed software and Windows updates, a list of running processes, the IP and MAC address, and whether it was running with admin privileges and if it's a 64-bit system. At time of recording, it is not known what the collected data would be used for, but Talos created a black hole by registering any domains associated with the malware so that the malware could not re-establish connections in the future from victim computers, and as such, the second stage of the payload was never run by the attackers. Now, Piriform estimates 2.27 million people were affected, and users should update to version 5.34. The CCleaner Cloud version auto-updates, and a new version of it is already available as well, and BTW, the version of CCleaner, is the free version, not the pro version. In total, though, CCleaner is used by 2 billion people worldwide. Alternatively, you could also use the open-source BleachBit for cleaning up crap files on your machine. Now, this is not the first time we have heard of a supply chain attack happening to popular software. This is exactly how the NotPetya ransomware was distributed, and it does seem much more common this year than usual. And I also want to mention props to Decimatrix on Patreon for sending in this story. Really appreciate it. As a follow-up to our story last week on the Equifax hack, we now know what caused it in the first place. So it turns out that an Apache Struts framework flaw that was patched over 2 months prior to the timing of the incident was the culprit in the Equifax hack. So this vulnerability with CVE number 2017-5638 was fixed way back on March 6th by Apache, but it was not implemented by Equifax at that time. The framework is used to develop web apps in Java for front-end and back-end web servers, and it is used by a lot of different companies. Now, on a slight tangent, Cisco is also starting an investigation into their own products due to the recent vulnerabilities, not just this one, that also affect Apache Struts. Equifax posted this news on a September 15th update via EquifaxSecurity2017.com on that website. Now, alongside this, more came to light about the 200,000 or so credit card details that were also stolen. Apparently, these were sniped via the same Apache Struts framework attack and covered transactions made on Equifax's site from November 10, 2016, all the way to July 6, 2017. Visa and MasterCard published notifications to affected banks in their networks, and according to PCI Standard Security Council, any credit card data that is stored must be encrypted. So either attackers were able to decrypt stored data, or it was held in clear plain text. The data stolen included credit card numbers, expiration dates, and cardholder names. In the meantime, oh yes, it is not over. More investigations are happening to Equifax. The FTC warned consumers about scammers calling and pretending to be Equifax employees and asking to verify personally identifying information. The Office of the Privacy Commissioner, or OPC, of Canada is launching an investigation into Equifax as well, since some of the data lost affected Canadians. At time of writing, Equifax planned to notify impacted Canadians in writing. Now, the Justice Department is also launching an inside trading investigation aiming at the three top officials at Equifax that sold stock right after the company discovered the breach. So those people include Equifax's CFO, John Gamble, the president of the U.S. Information Solutions, who is Joseph Lowrand, and president of Workforce Solutions, Rodolfo Ploder. Now, while these three are still at the company, the CIO and the CSO, the chief security officer, are retiring. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts also introduced two new bills to Congress in response to the hack. One is to let consumers freeze their credit free of charge, and another is to ban employers from using credit reports to decide whom to hire. Now, with all of this currently brewing, it sounds like the storm is far from over, so we will continue to report on it as more news comes out. Patrons, remember to link me to your favorite stories during the week via our Patreon community tab. This one is from Joe and Michael, so thank you to both of you for posting this on the community tab. If you subscribe to our shows, you already know this, but in case you are new, just turn off Bluetooth right now. Just turn it off and keep it off unless you absolutely need it, but then turn it off after using it. So security firm Armis announced a new vulnerability called Blueborn, which allows for Bluetooth devices to be attacked remotely through implementations of Bluetooth on different software and operating systems, including Windows, Android, Linux, and iOS. The Blueborn vulnerability was patched in iOS 10 in 2016, Microsoft in July, and Google devices running OSs older than Marshmallow are currently vulnerable. Lastly, Linux is currently working on fixes for their devices and their software as well. So Blueborn also affects Internet of Things devices that require Bluetooth to work, and that includes smart TVs, light bulbs, speakers, etc., etc. In total, 8 vulnerabilities across different kinds of platforms include Blueborn vulnerabilities in them. So Blueborn will scan for nearby devices that have Bluetooth turned on and check to see if they are vulnerable. The hack takes about 10 seconds and it's flexible depending on the system a device is actually running. A victim would not need to connect to the attacker's device, and even if Bluetooth is already paired to something else, Blueborn will still attack, allowing an attacker to gain control over the device and also snoop on data. It also has the ability to spread from one infected device to another. To jump from one device to another, Blueborn uses Bluetooth 5's Bluetooth mesh capability. An attacker would also need to be within range of Bluetooth, so probably 33 feet or so would be their distance. If patches are available for your Bluetooth-enabled device, make sure to patch immediately. Thank you to all of the wonderful, fine, amazing people out there who contribute to patreon.com/threatwire. I went country there for a bit. You are the reason that we can keep on bringing you news every single week. Any little bit helps us grow the show, and in return, you will get extras, a bunch of extras, over on patreon.com/threatwire, which include an audio RSS feed, fur baby pictures, little extras from me, and tons of other stuff. We might even feature your fur baby like these ones in an upcoming episode. Check out the perk levels on Patreon, and thank you again for helping us keep this show completely independent and ad-free. And of course, if you cannot donate, hit that little subscribe button, share this episode on your favorite social media page, and use the hashtag ThreatWire so that I see it. And with that, I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet.